Good Sunday morning and welcome to the worship of the Third Presbyterian Church in the Enos Park neighborhood of Springfield. Today is Sunday, July 26th. Here is Marina Mitchell with our prelude on the Sanctuary Baby Grand Piano. Please pray with me. God of all creation, you have formed us and knit us together, so we are unique and amazing, and we are your precious creation. Now as we worship you this day, open our amazing minds, open our hearts, and open our priceless souls. Amen. Christian Henry Bateman was a minister in several churches for over 50 years. Using some of the text from a previous hymn titled Join Now in Praise and Sing, Bateman created this song which we use today as our opening hymn. Please join the TPC choir as we sing, Come Christians, Join to Sing. We turn now to our scripture reading from the Gospel of Matthew. It's chapter 12, verses 44 through 46, and I'll be reading today from the NIV. It's called The Parables of the Hidden Treasure and the Pearl. The kingdom of heaven is like treasure hidden in a field. When a man found it, he hid it again, and then in his joy he went and sold all he had and bought that field. Again, the kingdom of heaven is like a merchant looking for fine pearls. When he found one of great value, he went away and sold everything he had and bought it. May God bless the reading of this word for this day. Amen. Lynn DeShazzo is a worship leader and church lecturer. She's also a conference and retreat leader and has also written many songs for the church. In 2010, she wrote a contemporary Christian song about how we might view God in the most precious of ways. We invite now the TPC praise team to lead us in More Precious.
Oh,
Please join me for a prayer. Lord, as we come to the message today, may the words that come from my mouth and the meditation which falls on all of our hearts be acceptable in your sight, and remind us this day that you are our rock and our salvation. Amen. You may have seen this story recently about a man who was in the service. And in 1974, at an Air Force base where he was stationed in Thailand, he bought a watch called a Rolex Oyster Cosmograph. For what at the time was a lot of money, $345.97. His military buddies thought he was crazy for spending that much money on a watch. Further, he got to thinking that what he had done, he didn't want to get exposed to salt water and other things that might cause it problems, so he kept it locked away in its original box. Recently, he found the watch and decided to take it to an antique show in Fargo, North Dakota, to see how much it might be worth. He was hoping to get paid at least what he had paid for it. But he would soon find out that since it was in the original box with certification and hardly had been worn, the value today would be between $500,000 and $700,000. Interestingly, when he heard its value, this battle-tested veteran collapsed to the ground. It seems in this day and age we put a value on almost everything, and we hope over time that what we've invested in will increase in value. I know that everyone who's purchased a home at one time or another hopes that after living in that home for many years, when they decide to sell it, they can get a lot more than what they paid for it. We like to think that way about our cars, but my experience is once you drive off the lot, the car will immediately lose value and you can never seem to catch up. I guess I should not complain. The last car I traded in, I literally pushed it onto the parking lot of the dealer and they still gave me $100. This all reminds me of a parable which Jesus told in scriptures, and it was the parables from our reading today. He tells about two different men who found some hidden treasure. The first found theirs buried in a field, and they were so overjoyed that they bought the field. The second is kind of a little like the Rolex story in that a man was looking for a fine pearl, and when he found it, he sold everything else he owned to buy just this single pearl. Both found material things that had value, and they went to extremes to have these very things. Jesus uses this story to make a point about the kingdom of heaven. You see, we do value things on this earth a lot. A friend of mine is in the insurance business, and he talks about the disparity in workmen's compensation insurance. He tells me that they have tables that they use to value the worth of losing something, like a thumb, for example. The problem is, he tells me, that it's run state by state, and for example, if you lose your thumb in Alabama, under workman's comp there, it's worth a little over $13,000. But if you have the same loss in Kentucky, it's worth almost $200,000. But really, when it comes to things like that, I know we want to assign a value, but aren't really a lot of things in life sort of priceless? One could say having good health is priceless. Even though we have a cost of medical care associated with it, having children who grow up to be successful in their own right could be considered priceless. Having great friends who are there for you in both the good times and the not so good, or those who are involved with you in church, having your church family support you when things are going bad in your life, those things might be considered priceless. And how do you value your own soul? The value in the world, and the value of eternity. Many would argue priceless, and perhaps that's what Jesus was really saying in the parable that he taught us today. In this parable, these earthly things were considered priceless, and they required all we had, all those two men had to get. But the kingdom of heaven is even more priceless than all of these. And one could suggest that if you miss out on the kingdom of heaven, you've missed out on the most priceless thing that there is to obtain. And yet none of all this worldly goods that we purchase as a gift, it's too priceless, this kingdom of heaven, for us to buy, even though we may try to do just that. There's a story told of a driver in a car that skidded off the road on a curve on a back highway in California. The car skidded off the side of the road and was precariously balanced on the edge of the ravine. Several cars stopped, and someone had some ropes in their car, so they tied ropes on the back of the car to keep it from falling over the cliff. In short order, the emergency crew showed up, and using chains and cables, they safely hooked to the car. However, every time they started to pull the car back off the edge, the driver began frantically to yell and scream. Every time they pulled, the driver would throw a fit. Eventually, even through all the yelling and screaming, the several emergency crew members and the 25 people who were there helping in the rescue got the car back off the edge. At that point, the driver jumped out of the car and began to berate everyone, claiming that they should have just left them alone because they were going to back their car up by themselves. Our souls are a precious gift, and we want to save our souls, but they are so priceless that we cannot on our own. We know, however, from scriptures that the God who created our minds, our hearts, our bodies, and our souls loves every part of us. That God understands, as the scriptures teach us in Romans 5:8, but God demonstrated his own love for us that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Each one of us is created in the image of God in a unique and amazing way. And God loves all of us to the point that God sacrificed his son for our redemption. That's how priceless we are in the eyes of God. I think the best way to drive my point home today is that if you're listening not only to my words, but to maybe listen to the words from someone who came from a place of not understanding just how precious they were in relationship with Jesus and how the transformation called them to a ministry to help others who were at their same place. Please listen to Cynthia tell us her story.
For 365 days a year, for 15 years, I used meth on a daily basis. It destroyed my life, and along with that, the drug addiction came crime. I sold the drugs so I could make money to do the drugs. In and out of jail, getting busted for selling the drugs, and my last arrest was for manufacturing and distributing controlled substance, which was meth. And as I was in jail, I wasn't getting out. I was looking at some serious time in prison. I was in the jail cell, and this girl came into my cell, and she told me about a book that helped her. So I read a book. I read it for 5 hours straight through. And as I was reading it, something was happening on the inside of me. I was starting to feel again. I was starting to think that maybe there was a hope for my life. After 5 hours, I shut that book, I got on my knees, and I got radically saved. I couldn't come out of my cell for 23 hours a day. So it was just me and the Lord reading the word. I started seeing my life in the eyes of God. My heart was breaking for the sins that I had done. I did not know how to deal with them. So I literally took out a pad of paper, and I started writing down the things that I did. But I was so guilty. I was so hurt for the things that I had done. I sat down with my lawyer one day, and I just looked at him and I said, I have to plead guilty. I am guilty of all the charges plus hundreds more. And he said, okay, cut and dry case. Yes, ma'am. So my day in court happened. I was sitting there in front of the judge. My attorney told me not to say anything about Jesus. Just as the DA goes to stand up to say she deserves prison, the judge stopped everything. She turned to me and she said, "Cynthia, I want to see you succeed." She said, "If you ever stand in front of me again, I am going to give you 5 years flat in prison. But if you come back in front of me in 1 year without any violations on your probation, then I'm just going to give you probation and I'm going to let you live your life on the outside." You could have heard a pin drop in that courtroom. The DA's mouth flew open and I'm just shaking my head, "Yes, ma'am." And inside, I was so excited because if Jesus Christ's name couldn't be mentioned in that courtroom, nobody was gonna talk. After the judge gave me a second opportunity, I had to learn how to live life again. I go to apply for a job, so I go and tell them how good I am with people and what God has done in my life, and I'm good with money because I was a drug dealer. And that's how I got my first job. They actually hired me. Through that job, I learned how to work and how to have ethics and integrity and character and those types of things. After years of integrating and trying to find out who I was as an adult woman now, I always had a seat in my heart to go back into the jails and go back into the prisons. But because of my record, I mean, it was almost impossible. Nobody would let me back in. Finally, after 10 years, an opportunity opened up for me, and there was actually a full-time paid position for a female chaplain in the county jail, just like the one I was saved at. So now what I get to do every day, and simply because of God's grace, I get to go back into that jail every day with the keys in my hand, and I get to share the grace of God just like He shared it with me.
May you realize today just how precious you are, all of you, in the eyes of God, and since you cannot purchase your own salvation, trust on the promises of God, who in spite of who we are or what we've done, God's love for you is found in the fact that Christ died for your sins. May that be our assurance this day. Amen and amen. It is true that we cannot save ourselves, but it is God's grace that saves us. Halldor Lillenes was from Norway, and he understood as a minister in the Nazarene Church just exactly that. He would eventually come to live right here in Illinois, and for $5, he bought an organ and composed the next hymn that we're going to sing. And he sold the rights to that song for, you guess, $5. The message in this song is very important in our faith journey, so join the TPC choir in Wonderful Grace of Jesus.
Wonderful Grace of Jesus. Thank you.
Thank you for your continued support of our radio ministry as we broadcast each Sunday on Sports Radio 1450 AM and 92.3 FM. Thank you for both listening to our broadcast each week and to the many of you who have sent in a contribution to support this ministry effort. If you're interested in contributing, you may send your contribution to Third Presbyterian Church at 1030 North 7th Street, and our zip code is 62702. You can also visit our website, third-presbyterian.org, and you can make a contribution online. We have had a request from time to time that we say together the Lord's Prayer. And I want to recognize that our radio audience may have many denominational representations, and those denominations tend to say the Lord's Prayer in slightly different ways. For example, in the Presbyterian Church, we use the words debts and debtors. My wife, who is a United Methodist minister, uses trespass and trespasses. So as I lead this prayer at the end this morning, I will invite us to all join together in the Lord's Prayer. Please do so in the manner in which you were taught, in the manner in which you feel most comfortable. Please join me in our morning prayer. Holy God, you created us and you sustain us, and in your Son you brought us salvation. In these days we know how precious we are and how priceless are our souls. So help us live each day remembering these things so that the way we behave and the way we treat others may reflect our own salvation. Help us work in this world to bring about peace and justice. Help us deliver the message from your word to all those who are in jails and prisons in this world, but also to those who are trapped by jails and prisons because of their own decisions and actions. May we serve you in ways you open up for us, and may we always, in all things, give you the honor, the glory, and the praise. Now, Lord, hear us as we pray together, a prayer which you taught us by your Son, as we say, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. Our sending song comes from the TPC Praise Team as they bring us this song of commitment called Here I Am, Lord.
Here I am.
There is an ancient blessing from the Valley of Mizpah that says these words, And now may the Lord watch between you and me while we are absent, one from the other. Amen. Thank you so much for joining us this week. Our recording engineer is Seth Hood. The TPC choir is directed by Jeff Prince. However, this week, our special choir director was Dawn Hollis. We also thank the TPC Praise Team, Jeff, Carrie, Grace Ann, Braden, Seth, Dawn, and PJ. We also thank Faith Prince as our production assistant and to Marina Mitchell on the piano. And a special thanks each week to Matt Miller, who does our post-production. I'm the Reverend Dr. John Shear, the pastor of TPC. Have a blessed week, and please stay safe out there.